notoriously Sydney and unmistakably Aussie, like the Australiano, a unique taste of McCafe coffee, chai and native wattle seed.
I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready. Gather round for radio now for Uzi and Aaron.
Huge day. People have got illnesses here, but there are people in separate studios, but we're going to power through as much as we can. At any point, we may lose a team member.
I don't have COVID, by the way. I just did a test. Is one line clear?
Yeah, absolutely. But if you get a red text or a blue text, you can put an extra line in there if you want an extra week off. So,
mate,
just remember that.
Please, God.
No,
I mean, I wouldn't want to miss it for the world.
Hey.
Stop stalling.
No, I will. I am going
Stop
to give.
Stop stalling.
I'm giving clues away all day so that someone will win $100,000 tomorrow with the mystery mix. That's happening all day.
All I hear is blah, blah, blah. I don't hear any clue.
I'm going to do one when we come back.
So well said, Ed.
You know, also what I'm going to do when we come back.
What?
Because we're in a giving mood. A family pass to see Minions, The Rise of Gru. Family pass means two adults, two children.
But if you've got a bigger family, we'll sort it out.
We're not going to make
you leave. We're not going to make you leave, you know, a kid in the car.
I know what we can do. That guy who only had three people he was taking, he could meet another family who's got five out the front.
We're not coordinating people's movie dates.
Blended. And then they could decide they like each other more.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
I'm really tight. So I need a stretch.
And a sweep.
I'm famously tight. We know
that. No, we know. And people might think you're alluding to your wallet, but no, Dave Hughes had the colorectal cleaner of Diana Princess that couldn't fit in his
Yeah, I had
place.
Let's go to the tape.
Have we got the tape?
Well, we'd have to, yeah.
You normally
have
the tape. I understand you guys are still together.
That was a professional colonic performer who in 40 years of service in 40 years of service had never met an orifice she couldn't invade until she met mine. And she used every hose available, all sizes. And she wasn't able to. I completely shut up shop. It was like, absolutely. I've got a one-way situation.
Yeah. Oh, so true. Like a one-way street.
It's like you Clancy, cannot. You're absolutely right.
Of the overflow.
Yep. Clancy, the overflow.
Yep. She was like one of those trucks that gets stuck under the bridge.
Her
truck could not.
Yeah.
My clearance was too low for her truck.
Oh, well done.
And now remember, we've got family passes to Minions, Rise of Gru. On offer all morning.
What did you want to ask people, though? You said that people could have them, but what do you want to talk to them about?
Well, I want to. Who are we going to talk to first? Who we got there? Let's just put someone on.
Pick someone, young man.
Well, what about David from Hoxton Park? Can we go to David?
Okay. Yeah, hey, David.
How are you going?
Hey.
You're going to use this Minions pass? You've got people to use it with, haven't you?
Yes, of course. Family.
Yeah. But during the day, you're away from your family. What are you doing?
I do roofing.
Yeah.
Oh, hashtag real man.
Roofie trader.
Shingles.
Now, Aaron Molan might have been listening to your conversation yesterday. Aaron, what did you do yesterday? You've got the pass, David, by the way.
Yeah, well done. Well, stay there, though, David. Yesterday I was getting some washing in from the balcony and I heard some male voices and peeped over the balcony and there were four tradies working in a hole just next to where I live, my apartment block. And I listened, David, because they were loud and it pricked my attention and I listened. Would you be horrified if someone listened to your conversation with your tradie mates?
No, never.
Oh.
So you, David, but you never say stuff with your mates on the work site and thinking, what if the misso or what if, you know, mum was listening? You never worry like that?
Oh, of course. That's what you do with a bunch of blokes at work.
It's a secret men's business, and secret men's business has been invaded by a
journalist
woman
with a national platform, and this is very, very
and
dangerous.
A willingness to
like
use it.
I don't like it.
Someone keen for content for a Sunday night Erin show on Sky News.
Yeah.
Did you record them, Erin?
No, because I remember Ubergate. I know you're not allowed to record without. I didn't record David, but David, if you're feeling a bit low at the thought of someone like me listening. Hey, Mindy, what do you think about tradies? What did you say yesterday? Mindy's one of our producers, David, when we spoke about the tradies, and I sent a photo through and they were wearing Hy-Vees. What did you say,
you
Mindy?
Hy-Vees
is hot. She said Hy-Vees is hot. I sent a photo from above. You couldn't identify any of them.
You sent a photo. You were down vising them, were you?
Well, I was.
But just down viz photo.
Just so you guys could get, I like to paint a picture. But David, I listened for a good 10 to 15 minutes and I'm going to reveal at some stage what they said and it shocked me.
I don't
me.
Think you can. No, David.
Do you
David,
think?
David, you're the voice of tradies here. Erin should not reveal what they were talking about, should she? Because she was eavesdropping.
Correct. What's said at work stays at work.
Thank you. And it's,
yeah,
and
but
it's not
David,
your
in
fault,
my defense, no. I'm on the fourth floor and they were in a ditch down below. If I can hear them on the fourth floor, yeah, then maybe they should whisper.
We need to hear from tradies here.
Do I tell or not? Because it might surprise you.
We need to fill the board with Hy-Vees.
Yeah, 131060 lines are open if you are currently deep in the Hy-Vees. If you're a tradie, 131060 lines are open. Erin Molan plans to reveal their secrets, their intimate secrets.
I'm not
going to
identify
know.
Who they are, though.
Well, they'll know who they are. They did not know.
I'm also reeling about the Hy-Vees makes them hot.
Oh, mate, let me tell you.
Hy-Vees makes you hot.
As a red-blooded woman, if you are in Hy-Vees, if you are in a ute,
what?
If you have a drill in your hand, you automatically are 30% hotter than you normally are. Tradies are smoking. Tradies are hot. There's just something hot about a man who knows how to build stuff.
A capable person.
Yeah. Strong. But it doesn't even matter if they're not. Like, just tradies. You can be a weak one. Just lift and love our listeners like Ed and I love our listeners.
Good call.
Before we get to one of our hot Hy-Vees tradies, I'm going to give you the five songs. If you've got a pen, write it down. Because of You, Kelly Clarkson, I'll Be Missing You, Puff Daddy, Faith Evans and 112, Shape of You, Ed Sheeran, Uptown Funk, Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars, Waiting for Tonight, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah,
they're the five
you
songs.
Don't, if you don't
here's
have
the first
one,
clue.
Why don't you tweet it out?
Evans is odd and Sheeran ain't easy. So Evans is odd, Sheeran ain't easy. So Are We Missing You is an odd. It's either 1, 3 or 5. And the other one, Ed Sheeran, ain't, what was I saying?
Easy. Or did you say ain't even?
Do you mean
ain't
even?
I should have said ain't even.
Yeah, I was going to say that's so right. weird.
Oh, so they're both please. Odd. Both those
give
two are odd.
Ed. No, you can't give the clue and then change the words in the clue so that the clue doesn't make any sense.
I made an early morning mistake, but I won't
hear it.
It could cost someone $100,000. This is not play. This is not a movie.
So Ed Sheeran and Puff Daddy are both odd numbers. Right? So put them in the 1, 2, 3 category. By the end of the show, you'll have everyone in order. Guaranteed.
Right, so the topic at hand is Erin Mullen's been, as Husey's invented, down vising. She's been staring down at tradies, recording their conversations,
I have
and she
not
wants gone, she
been.
Wants to know whether or not they can she can go live on Sky News with them.
No, and just in all honesty, she and we've got it. This is a legal thing. She did not record their conversations,
no.
but she did take a photo.
I listened. I took a photo from above where you can't identify their faces, and I listened for maybe 10 to 15 minutes. But look, the content was more this radio station than Sky News. I'll give you the nod.
They weren't
talking about coal or, the Greens.
Yeah, well, we've got a hot tradie who wants to talk to us.
Has he been vetted as hot, or are you just assuming he's hot?
Well, he's got a Hy-Vees.
Okay, yeah, tick.
Louis from Blacktown, do you have a Hy-Vees vest that you put on?
Yes, I do.
Would you consider yourself to be attractive, Louis?
100%.
Yeah.
Can I ask?
Confident.
Are you wearing the Hy-Vees right now?
Yes, I am.
Let's guess.
Just a Hy-Vees, nothing else.
Yeah, man, just a vest. Hey, Louis, are you a yellow viz guy or an orange viz guy?
Great question.
Yellow.
Yeah, that's the whole
Now, it is so the hot one, yellow. That's a great point.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Can you get them at Bunnings, by the way? Can you just, you probably could, I imagine.
No one's going to believe you're a tradie, Hughesy. You've got a slightly recognisable face. But and you're well known as being a comedian.
Louis.
Yes.
What do you do, man?
Man, I drive cranes. I'm a dogman as well.
Oh, he's a dogman. Hey, I love dogmen.
Louis. I met a crane driver over in Hawaii when I was single, fell in love, thought he was the love of my life, came home, went to visit him in Brisbane, and it was horrific. It was the worst thing I've ever done, and it was so awkward, and I went home the next day never to speak to him again.
Don't say that.
No, it was awful.
Don't say that.
It was like 12.
But you had your time, and it should have stayed.
I know. I learnt my lesson. I thought it was love that cross borders, but it was just a holiday love, and all we did was pash anyway. And I thought so. Yeah.
Louis, let's do a role play here. Right. You're on the work site with the dudes just hanging out. Aaron Molan walks past. What do you say?
We'd all be going off.
Would you like?
All be going off.
Because Louis, I was thinking about letting them see me and then ducking down again and listening, but then I was too scared in case. It wasn't flattering. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
You should have. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Aaron Molan is doing
it. Would have been like extra sauce on their pie.
That's not nice. don't equate Aaron to sauce. So.
Oh, everyone loves sauce. Louis, do you love sauce?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Who doesn't?
So, Louis, can I tell everyone what they said? I won't identify who they are, but can I divulge the conversation?
100%. Is that stupid enough to say it out loud? You can say whatever you want.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Louis. All right, stay there, Louis, then, because, all right, does that mean after the news that Aaron's going to spill the beans on what
Seriously, from what I've thought men talked about when they were alone to what I heard, I'm in shock.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, we've also got to do a big Disney announcement after the news. So does it fit with Disney family values?
Oh, that's a tough one.
We might find a way to separate those two items, but I guarantee they'll both take place. They may just find some distance, as they say.
Hughesy, Ed and Aaron.
I don't know if there's a VIP section on the rink that you can just hang out with your cocktails and your attitude.
I am a person of the people. I sit at the back of the plane.
Yeah, that's because...
Not by choice, but, you know.
No, I won't say what I was going to say.
What were you going to say? Oh, because I'm a girl.
Because, you know, I'm not going to say it. I don't know where you're at with all your dealings, basically.
So we've got two things there. We said there were three things to deal with. One was the Disney announcement. Yeah. That's been done.
Yeah.
We've got to talk ghosting soon because the woman who has literally written the book on ghosting is going to be joining us in the studio. But also, there is this small matter of Aaron Molan listening to tradies' conversations and reporting back on them.
Yeah.
What did they say?
Louis said I was allowed to divulge. So I was out just bringing in the washing for those who have just joined us, and there were four...
Because Louis was a tradie who called us.
Louis was a tradie who called us, yes. There were four lovely tradies down below working in a ditch. And I'm four floors up and they were quite loud and I got drawn in a little bit and just crouched, popped a squat next to the kind of windowsill and just listened for a few minutes. And I was...
Can I just say, the term popped a squat is...
What? Is that not right?
Well, it's just...
What? Yeah. What's wrong with it, Hughesy?
Popped a squat.
We can't get bogged down in this, guys. And I pun intended. Can we please move on?
So anyway, I assumed that they'd be talking about, you know, chicks and beers and pizza and footy. And they spoke about the two main topics. The first was cacti.
Yep.
They spoke about cactus plants.
Mm-hmm. So they got succulents at home.
Yeah. And the second was llamas. That's it.
What were they saying about llamas? Were they into llamas, not into llamas?
There was just a lot of llama talk, and there was a lot of talk over. They were very passionate about the llamas, but I think talking about a llama they'd visited when one of them went overseas. The cactus was about how long they can survive in the desert without water. Like this, honestly, for the love of God, if this is what they talk about when women aren't around, you imagine, I was so bored.
Yeah, right. You wanted to yell out, what about me?
I was thinking about running downstairs, just walking past and then running back upstairs and listening, but I was too scared of what might have.
What about a classic said. Look at these?
I thought she could go further than that. You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Oh, for the love of... You guys are so misogynistic. You know, it's appalling.
You're the one. I was saying show you the house, the plants on your balcony. Look at these. You like those cacti. Look at these. Look at these succulents.
Anyway, it was really awful, and now everything I've thought was true about what men spoke about when we're not there is wrong.
But right now, can
but
I...
when
I,
you're not... when yeah. Yeah, you want to do the intro? Well, you should, what? Because you quite literally wrote the foreword in this book. So go for it, young man.
There's a brilliant new book available online and in stores, and that's available right now, and it's called Where'd They Go? Bringing Light to Ghosting Culture. And the expert in the field is a beautiful woman, and her name is Andy Liu, and we welcome her into the studio. Good morning, Andy. Yay.
Thank you, everyone. Oh, my gosh, I honestly thought about just not showing up, sleeping in the spirit of ghosting.
That would have actually been very funny.
Well, we're very happy you didn't do that. So, I mean, ghosting, it's if for people that don't know, what is a quick summation of the term ghosting?
Well, it could be a little bit of that, and then also just never returning your calls or texts.
Yeah. Just in a dating sense more than anything, or it can be a lot of different areas.
Such a good question, Erin. It's actually happening in friendships and even business too, just people not even showing up to jobs on their first day, all sorts.
Wow.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's ghosting, because I remember when I first heard the word, I was like, what the hell does that mean? So it's essentially where you just disappear. You don't have a difficult conversation. Like if it's not going well with an early kind of dating partner, instead of saying, hey, I'm really sorry, I'm not feeling this, you just completely disappear.
Exactly. Into thin air, never to be returned. Did they die? We'll never know.
Now, hopefully, sometimes.
Andy, you're a beautiful woman, but are you single at the moment?
I'm always single and dating, Husey.
Yeah.
Why are you fussy? Because you're obviously super smart. You're gorgeous looking.
Sometimes I think it's just so that I can give you more content for all my books.
Yeah,
look, I am a bit fussy. I think, though, you know, you would know if you've already got a child, there's no rush. I think it's when women have their biological clock ticking and they kind of like want to hurry things up, but we can have fun and take our sweet time.
It's a really good point. And I don't know if I ever felt that because I had a partner for 6 or 7 years and had a little girl. But now if I was single and didn't have a child, would it be a really different experience dating? Because it feels a lot less pressure. And maybe that's because I've got a bubba. I'd never really thought about it like that.
Less expectation, more fun, to see where things go.
Yeah, but the ghosting, I believe, it partly comes about because of the dating apps and the options that are available to everyone. So
that's true.
You can go on a date with someone, but then you've got 15 other people lined up in your dating apps to go on dates with. So it's easier to discard people.
And this is why you wrote the foreword, Husey, because
you know, mate.
Do you know what? I always have this chapter, you know, that I refer to. It's called Who's to Blame? Yeah. And is it a little bit of the conditioning that's been happening? That's why it's the ghosting culture that I've called it, bringing light to ghosting culture, because we have kind of been conditioned to scroll on, you know, block, delete, unfriend, report. And how you do anything is how you do everything, right? So maybe we're kind of doing that.
Can we just drill down on that? How
say
you
that
do
again.
Anything?
Here we go.
Say it again. Say it
how
again.
How you do anything is how you do everything. Look at Ed. He's eye rolling emoji.
No, it's beautiful.
He's just going to annoy us with that while he yells at us. So now say it how you'll say it off air. How you do everything is how you do everything.
No, how you do anything is...
People.
Now, Andy, lately in your single life, say over the last year, have you been more the ghostee or the ghoster?
I think I've had a lot of ghosting happen to me, which is kind of why I needed to write this book. I was feeling compelled because I also talked to others who were like, their self-esteems were really low and they were like really, I guess, broken by the disappearing acts and questioning their own self-worth. And that's a very kind of, I think this is why I asked you to write the foreword, because you always teach me how to be light about very serious subject.
Live in the moment, have a laugh all the time. What does it do to someone when they get ghosted? How does it make you feel? I think, well, you know, if you haven't experienced it, I think we all have.
Yeah. I think they definitely start to question their self-worth. Like, what did I do wrong? But it's always a reflection on the ghoster, not the ghostee usually.
Thank you.
However, what if you always get ghosted? Do you then start to think, wait a minute, there's a common denominator here. It's me.
Absolutely. Like, did you not read the yellow and orange flags? Yeah. Did they just disappear because you were being perhaps breadcrumbed? So that's another term in the dating world where
tiny bits, yeah.
They're just not making much of an effort. And then that
but
leads
enough,
to ghosting.
A little bit just so you stay hoping and holding on.
Yeah.
Give you just a little bit, just enough so you stay, but then nothing more.
But you got to read the signs. You've got to be like, this is going to lead to ghosting, so I'm out. I'm tapping out.
I wanted to. Could we come back? Just
I've got more questions.
But also, I want to talk about Andy's experience with a top 5 tennis player in the world.
Here we go.
The
book, me too.
The book is called "Where'd They Go: Bringing Light to Ghosting Culture" by Andy Liu. More next.
Susie, Ed, and Aaron.
Where'd They Go, Bringing Light to Ghosting Culture is the name of the book. Andy Liu is the name of the author who is in the studio to tell us all about it.
And Andy, the launch is tonight. I think Jonathan Moran is hosting the launch.
From Daily Telegraph. Yep.
Sydney Confidential. Wow, good one.
It's at Mujahdim in the city. And offshore vodka for everybody.
Now, I would be there, but we've got this amazing comedy gig that it's going to be happening, so that's why I won't be there. But now, the book's fantastic. It's available online. It's also available in stores. You were dating a top 5 tennis player in the world.
You love this story.
Dominic Thiem. All right. No. So.
I can't believe you just said it. Ever since I was in the box, he just wanted to make it official. But, like, he's got a girlfriend now and everything. And like, he didn't really ghost me. He has a girlfriend. So I think...
Did he have one during or...
No,
he was single. Okay,
he was officially single then, so I wouldn't be talking about it.
So, how did you meet him, by the way? Like, what?
He actually slid into my DMs, which is a whole other book. Hashtag Insta lovers.
Love that.
So, but let's be honest: a top 5 tennis player in the world has options all over the world. Was there messages he would ignore from you eventually because he'd moved on?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the reasons why someone might ghost you. You know, there could be another girlfriend in the background that's new in the picture, and they want to be serious, and they kind of go, "Just don't return this person's messages."
But how do you get the? You said before they don't want to have like palm sweaty conversations.
Yeah.
So how do we avoid ghosting? Do people just need to man up? And I know people don't like that term, but get some... Well, people
My daughter
don't like
doesn't
that
like the term
either.
No.
Yeah. But how do you have difficult conversations then?
Well, that's it. So there's a whole chapter about, you know, being well equipped to being able to have that sweaty palm conversation. I always say we're only one sweaty palm conversation from everybody being in love. Like, you just leave that person better than you found them, and then it's better for them for the next partner that they meet. But sometimes it's not really ghosting. Sometimes it's submarining where they resurface.
All these terms are in the book. The book is fantastic. Get it. Good on you. Well done, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Well done,
Where They Go, Bringing Light to Ghosting Culture is the name of the book.
Susie, Ed, and Aaron.
We're talking ghosting now. We had Andy Liu, who's got a book, Where'd They Go, Bringing Light to Ghosting Culture. That's available online in store. She's got a mad opening in that book. Jonathan Moran from Daily Telegraph is launching that in the city tonight. But ghosting... It's tough for men as well. And Aaron, I know
when
you
is
think
the toughest time. When is the toughest time, Cusie? You told us you'd tell us the toughest time for a man to be ghosted.
Well, back in my single days, which you know, and when I was out and about meeting ladies.
All right.
And the toughest time to be ghosted is after you've had a night of passion.
Oh, God.
And what you thought was an amazing experience for both parties.
Mm.
You think this is the start of a beautiful relationship.
Ooh.
You know, she's seen me at my best.
Yeah.
I think, oh my God, fireworks went off last night.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
And then nothing. Just disappear. It's like, could you at least tell me where I went wrong?
Give me some constructive feedback.
For next time.
So women are very good actors in that way. I'm like, you leave thinking that you have been the greatest Casanova in the history of the world, and she leaves exhausted from pretending.
Nothing? Like, not even. Nothing?
We've all been ghosted, though. It's nothing personal. Oh,
well, that does sound very personal, though, that one. That one sounds very
really
specific. Genuinely personal, that one. That is your one-star review. So, joining
that's
the
zero
studio.
Zero stars. That's not
zero,
one.
That's zero stars. That's I walked out halfway through. Here he is. Here is producer Lou, who is a card-carrying member of the very fun, and she is from New Zealand. You do have to remember that. Now, so Lou, what happened? You've been ghosted.
Yeah, I had a ghosting experience, which was very humbling for me. I got invited out with this guy, and he was like, bring a few friends. So he took us to a fancy restaurant, and I would say the bill would have been at least like, honestly, probably $1,500 for the table.
What?
And he was asking my friends, he was being like, oh, you know, does she like me? I'm really into her. And then his friends were going to me, he's really into you. And so we had this fun, wild night, you know, he's paid for all of our drinks and everything. And then I went to text him the next morning and nothing. Never heard from him again. And I was thinking, why would you go out of your way to spend all this money on this fancy, you know, dinner with all my friends and ask my friends, you know, is she into me and everything? But it's a really humbling experience. I think it's good character building and old ghosting. But
it does, Look, but
had he he'd paid for the whole lot.
Everything.
So had you, in hindsight, had you eaten too much? Had you drank too much? Had you, like, you think, had you...
He's asking you, the victim, whether it's your fault.
Perhaps too many margaritas for me, maybe too much burrata, who knows?
Wow.
That is victim blaming. Hughesy, that is victim blaming. It is victim blaming. That is disgusting.
Did he fall for one of your friends?
Oh, maybe. I didn't know a hell of a lot about him. Perhaps he had other people on the go, you know. He might have been juggling multiple.
I suspect he sounds like the type that made that up.
But also, he'd said to you, bring a lot of your girlfriends. Had he said that?
Yeah, I brought a few friends. So, the girls were on. We had a great night.
But it doesn't feel very intimate for a guy to go on a date and say, bring all your girlfriends, you know?
Send me photos first, are the ones you want to bring and let me vet.
Was it Puff Daddy? That is a fair question.
If you stick with this show this morning, you will have everything you need to win $100,000 tomorrow. And the 100 grand is going off tomorrow morning. All you need is a phone. Yeah, it's huge.
From all the clues so far, and today will cement it for me, you can figure out the order. It's not kind of, oh, it could be this. You can figure out the order.
Yeah, but right now we are talking ghosting, and I think we have a ghoster on the line.
Oh, someone who's been ghosted. Which brave soul has come forward?
This is the ghoster.
This is the perpetrator.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Cassie from St. Mary's, you're going to say you're the ghoster, is that right?
Yeah, guys.
Hi. No, it's okay. I'm sure he deserved it. What happened?
Hey, look, like, we were only new, and it was good, like, when we were on dates and stuff like that. But then during the day, he'd be constantly messaging me, like, you know, you haven't messaged me for an hour. Like, are you okay? Are we okay?
Oh, God, yeah.
When I say this guy was full on, it was just crazy. And I'm like, you need to calm down. Like, we're all good, we're all good. And he just didn't. So I was like, you know what? I don't need this in my life.
Yeah.
And like, as bad as I felt, I just had to block him. It was just so much.
So it was a complete and utter ghosting. It wasn't a breadcrumbing, which is another term.
Or orbiting.
No, guys, it was just, look, I gave you the chance to calm down. You didn't want to calm down. Give me my space. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Did he use other ways to try to get to you, like through, you know, Instagram or other ways? Or did he just nothing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, look, it was only fairly new, so he hadn't met any of my friends or anything like that. So he didn't know, like, he hadn't been to my house, and I'm on the road all the time. So, like I said, it was as bad as I felt. Once I did it and I didn't top all that stuff that came along with it, I felt just so much better, and I was like, oh, I can breathe.
Play some claps. You've actually done yourself and him a favour there. You've done well there.
You didn't feel bad about not having the conversation with him? You didn't feel bad about that at all?
Well, I tried. I said to him, look, you're too much. You need to calm down. Like, we're only new. And he just didn't get the picture.
It's okay, Cassie. Hughesy's using you to work through some of his own stuff. You've done whatever you've done what you needed to there.
He's looking for some kind of legitimization to the ghostings that he's received over the years, in that it's your fault that you did it, Cassie. But you've just made it very clear that this lies with the ghostee.
Yeah.
Well
Thank
done.
You, Cassie.
Thank you so much.
It's a sobering story.
Ed, you must have been ghosted. I want to hear when you were ghosted.
Yeah.
You would have been the ghoster.
No, a girl once ghosted me so hardcore that she moved to England.
Oh,
And that was yeah, Facebook sort of filled me in on that one. And I hope she's very happy in. I hope she's very happy in Kent or wherever it is that she.
You could have turned up in Kent. Said I'm here, just passing through.
Oh my God, what are you doing here, honey?
Susie, Ed, and Erin.
But before seven, we had Andy Liu on. She got a new book, Where'd They Go? Bringing Light to Ghosting Culture, available online in stores. She's doing an opening. What do you do for a book? Do you open
like
a
launch?
Book?
She launched. A launch, generally. Yeah, but I reckon she's really tapping into something that a lot of people can relate to, and it's juicy as well. So I can go really well.
Before we get to our apartment situation from Marie from Hornsby, Erin, what is your abiding, what is your long-term memory you can't let go of?
Well, it was early days of dating the cricketer, and he went through a phase like we dated, then we didn't date, and then suddenly I didn't hear from him, and I just always remember this. It was a couple of days and he just hadn't replied to my messages, and Roz Kelly, who's on Channel 9, she's a superstar, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
We were sitting there trying to figure out what had happened potentially with him, and we came up with, and this is not even being silly or funny, this was legitimate, genuine, and I'm sure she was just, you know, being kind, but that he might have broken his fingers playing cricket, and that's why he hadn't replied to my text as we looked up to the Sheffield Shield playing on Gem 3 and seeing him there.
Was that
in
before
all his stride?
Before voice to text was a thing, like before Siri could do the texts for you.
Yeah, well,
how many fingers
that
had he broken in your scenario? Had he broken all 10?
I know, it was really sad. We were complete losers, and I even more so because I clung to it with this desperate hope that that was the reason.
Yeah.
Because I was a bunny boy, like, I find you.
You know, that didn't work out, and he should have been man enough to have the conversation.
Well, no,
you know?
It then did. We did then date for like years, but then, to be honest, he then ghosted. Literally, I got home from Sunday footy show, gone. Packed up his stuff, gone.
Even with broken fingers, he managed to pack his stuff.
That was after. He did come back, though, a few days later, but saw ya.
You know what? It's his loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Because look at me now.
Yeah, but imagine if you had been living in the same apartment building with this guy.
Yeah, that'd be
who
weird.
You got? I got Marie from Hornsby. So you're living in an apartment. Who was living above you, Marie?
Hi. I'm not living there anymore, thankfully. But my the guy who ghosted me was living above me, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Initially.
Was he hot? Was he a hot dude?
So he was a hot dude and he invited me up for a party one time and things kind of progressed from there. We hung out a couple of times and just never heard from him again.
So is he literally one floor above you?
Directly above me, yeah.
So did you, every time you drove in or walked in, did you just feel that sick, anxious feeling?
Yes.
Oh, actually, if he's directly above you, could you hear his footsteps on the floorboards above you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Could you hear more than his footsteps at times?
Sometimes, you know. Oh.
That's a haunting. That's not a ghosting. That's a haunting. He is haunting your apartment block. Well done to you.
How to make friends and influence people 101. Last night I'm at a gig and everyone's loving it and it's all good fun, all right? I'm taking a photo with a guy and then a woman came up to me and this is the first words this woman said to me, all right? She looked at me with her camera in hand and said, "You're not as annoying in real life." That was the first words to me.
I hate that.
And I said, good. Then she said, let's do a photo. Can you pout for the camera? I felt like saying I can more than pout. I can scowl because you thought I wasn't as annoying in real life. Give me 5 minutes. I can be really annoying.
And did you say, well, you are? I've met you for 1 second. Now, did you pout?
I was driving home. Oh, she wanted me to pout for her Instagram.
Why?
Because that's what I don't know what she is.
Can I say, I hate that. And if anyone's listening now and you see a poor celeb who's done it really tough during COVID and stuff, could you not say that kind of thing? People come up to me and go, oh, you're really nice. I don't know why everyone hates you. Not everyone hates me. Three idiots on Twitter hate me and they write articles about fans revolt. Most people do actually like me. It's really triggering. And as, you know, people in public eye, there's a lot of hardship we go through. Treat us with calm and care.
I said to Millsy's fiancé, Georgia, at the Logies, I went up and said, thought I'd have some fun. Never met her in person before. I said, g'day, I'm Ed, and Millsy was there. I said, do you know a lot of people tell us that I look like your fiancé? And she looked at me and she said, yeah, but he's handsome.
What?
Mate, and that is good from her, though, to be honest, for Millsy.
No,
No, but that's nice.
Because, no, Ed,
it's not
won,
true.
Ed won a Logie. He's up on stage. he's the hero of the room. The only thing he'll remember is what she said.
I don't remember winning. Thanks for reminding me.
But if it was true, then she would never have been able to say it because she's a nice person.
No,
You can only joke.
We all know.
You can only joke when it's so far from the truth.
All right. Well, you need to remember those words, Erin. We all need just
leave
think before
alone.
You speak.
Leave
tell you
us
what.
Alone.
Susie, Ed, and Erin.
You know what? The joy of performing is it's a joy that my whole family are experiencing, except my son, who I don't think has been in a school production.
But sports kind of performance on the basketball court, you know, there's an element of acting.
That is true. Hmm. But last night, my middle child, my 11-year-old daughter, Sadie, got to perform in her first ever play. And I've never been, I mean, I'm obviously proud of all my children, so I was very proud to see her on stage in the school's production of Peter Pan.
Oh, bless. So what role did she have? Like, what character was she?
Now, Sadie was playing the shadow of Peter Pan, so which is a very important role where you've got to follow Peter Pan around as the shadow and you've got to stay in line. Because, you know, the illusion of you not being a real shadow can't be broken. So she followed him around and there was a storyline about him trying to get rid of his shadow, which I didn't like. You know what I mean? Like,
you wanted to go and clock him.
Why are we getting rid of this shadow? This shadow is the best part of this play. And for Peter Pan to try to offload a shadow...
Do you know
which
what he
is
needs
there,
to do? He needs to grow up, which is sort of a central issue.
It's very childish for him to try to get rid of his shadow.
In his defense, is he following the script?
I don't care what the script says. Every now and then you got to read the room and you got to look out to the audience and say the audience are loving the shadow.
I know what this is about. You were the only famous parent there, weren't you? The only parent who's been on screen there, weren't you?
Look, the shadow was low as well. And it's like, I had to stand up to see the shadow. I'm like, sit down in front. Well, crouch. I need to see more shadow work. And she did an amazing job. And she's just a star. And you know what? No matter what part she's got in anything she does, she nails it.
How long was she in? Let's say the show was 3 hours long. How long was the shadow on stage?
Look, the good thing about the shadow is it opened the show. And so Peter and his shadow was in the first scene. And his desire to lose his shadow, it was early. So, you know, which is... And he did... He lost the shadow.
But then what did she do? What did she do after that? Was there another role she played?
She actually did. She was part of the road crew after that. So getting...
Like moving
getting
stuff in and out and...
Getting stuff in and out in between scenes.
That is so hard to do, by the way, quickly.
And she did it so professionally, and I was like, more of this. Let's have more of the moving. Do that bit again.
Is that in the dark, that bit?
Yes, but keep the lights down.
Is she wearing black in that bit?
Absolutely. Keep the lights down.
Could be anyone.
No, she's an... I'm being
you
completely...
You actually spoke about it off air, and look, you're the same person on and off air, which is... somewhat terrifying and also reassuring. But you actually said she is the sweetest, most incredible little girl I know, the cutest little girl, apart She's from just, obviously the other daughter you have. But you were really proud.
I'm really genuinely proud of her and everything she does, because she does everything with her whole heart.
Yeah, her attitude is first rate.
It is.
And it does mean that you were at a theatre for the best part of 4 hours to watch a shadow and then someone pull tables. But that is just the truth of
to be honest,
performing.
I did have to...
You what?
Sadie is a legend. Yes, absolutely.
Sorry, you what?
No, I had to leave. No, I actually had to.
Oh, you had to leave, did you? What'd you have to do? You had a doctor's appointment for your heart?
No, I had to. I had a gig.
Okay.
Remember where the woman insulted me at the gig? I had to go to that gig. So
you left your daughter's play for a gig.
For
you
20
are
bucks.
Filthy rich. You don't need the money. You tell us all the time off air that you don't need the money. And you left your daughter's play for a gig that doesn't help you pay your rent.
You absolutely sound like my other daughter as I'm leaving, just giving me that look like, you're a bad dad.
That's in movies. That's all the movies where kids are completely screwed up is because dad never went to the school play. And then right at the end, dad wakes up, arrives late, the kid sees him and all is well. But that's not going to be you.
But I know, but I was there early, you know. Something's better than nothing. So I was at the school play. But you know what? It's not about me. This is about everyone. This is about people celebrating their children and the productions that they're in.
What parts have your kids played on 13, 10, 60? Lines are open. Family pass to go and see the great new movie, Minions, The Rise of Gru, which is just an absolute belter for a family. So 13, 10, 60, lines are open. What part, small or otherwise, did you have to sit through, enjoy at a kid's production?
Susie, Ed and Erin.
You've gone to see your daughter in a school play. She played a shadow in one scene and then for the rest of the show of Peter Pan, she was stage crew. So she was moving the furniture on and off stage and she did it in her normal way. Your daughter is incredibly diligent. Your daughter is incredibly attentive. She is a credit to your wife.
You know what, that's true. She takes the role assigned and some people could crack a go, I want to be Peter Pan, I'm not going to be his shadow.
Yeah.
She owned the shadow.
And for her age, how old is she again, Hughesy, remind us?
She's 11.
She's 11. For that age, to have that level of maturity and application and dedication and to not feel like bitter about maybe missing out on something else is incredible. That's a real testament to, again, Holly.
I wish I had those qualities.
Yeah, me too.
I really do.
Yeah, me too.
So,
as in, I wish you did.
Yeah, no,
I do.
Yeah, I wish you did as well.
I really wish you did. I have those qualities in spades. My whole career has been because other people couldn't do it. Because other people couldn't do it. I was 10th choice on most occasions and I grabbed that opportunity with two hands and nailed it.
Okay, you two. We really need a couch in this studio. Can I please have someone who's had some children living their life on stage? Who's sat through some stuff?
Vanessa from Middleton Grange. Who is it? Who's the star of the family, Vanessa?
Oh, the star of the family was my then 8-year-old son who walked onto the stage as an Oompa Loompa, was there for 5.3 seconds and was off again.
Yeah.
And that was it, Vanessa? That was it?
No, he just stood there and all of us had to just watch him and he was so excited. The whole family had to go.
Yeah.
And if I tell him now, he's 15 now, and if I tell him, he's like, Mom, stop telling that story.
It's on radio now and I love that story.
He's first and last name, Dal.
Exactly.
But you know what? It's quality, not quantity. And he was focused in those few seconds, wasn't he?
Yes, in those 2.3 seconds. That's the same. Yes.
Thanks, honey. Well done to him.
Thank you so much.
Right, Yvonne from Casula. Can we have one more?
Yeah. Yvonne from Casula, what role did your child play?
Well, there were two children, and they were both, this one year, they had a show called A Night on Broadway. So each year group put on a couple of numbers. From Broadway shows. Yeah. And I had two of my children. They both had starring roles. So my kindergarten child was Daddy Warbucks from Annie.
Oh, not bad.
And then my daughter was in year one and she was Maria from The Sound of Music.
Jeez.
So they had to sing and my son as Daddy Warbucks had to hug somebody at kinder. That was a traumatic experience for him.
Can I be self-indulgent and just sing a line from each of those musicals? Because they're two of my favorites.
Sorry, here we go.
Okay,
here we go. Come on.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you pin a horse and set it down? And then the other one, Annie. The sun will come up tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun.
Can I right now play the role of Erin's father, Jim? I will. That was beautiful. You nailed that, sweetie. You were the best.
You know, Dad was like Daddy Warbucks, like as in like the Von Trapps. Right, like, Dad was not going to be encouraging that. Dad was tough. Dad would tell me that was appalling and to lift.
You've got to be careful which character in The Sound of Music you equate your father to. Yeah, a few of those true. Gentlemen were on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, that's right.
It is time. Okay.
Husey, Ed and Darren have had their best show, Like the Australiano, featuring McCafe Coffee, Chai and Native Wattle Seed, unmistakably Aussie.